Welcome back to the Post Up Sports Hour with Coach Josh Perkey on Expression Radio. Appreciate everybody's patience. We took some time off after our first three or four episodes. The professional life kind of got in the way there a little bit, and I'm really excited to get back to it. Something I really enjoy, talking sports. So, again, welcome back. We've got a guest in-house today. I always like to give a little personal background before I introduce our guest. Met this guy actually through business, and he placed a couple orders with me through my current company. Kind of broke the ice on our relationship there. And then I would say 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, there was a FCA banquet. We reconnected there, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and it was just a fantastic program. We had Donnie Jones. We had a couple local kids from local high schools that are involved in FCA give their testimony, which was very powerful. And then this guy got to get up and speak, and great guy. Last week we were talking about this before the show started. Last week he took me for my first cup of coffee, which I've never had in my life. So he thought I would have one today, but I do not. So he brought me my first cup of coffee. I'd just like to welcome Eric Brooks from FCA. I'm going to read his bio, but welcome, Eric, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So I'm going to give you a little bit about Eric's background here. Eric's the FCA director over both Putnam and Cabell counties here in West Virginia. He also covers Marshall University. That's where we had our first cup of coffee, by the way.
Correct.
He's in his fifth year of full-time ministry with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. The FCA vision is to see the world transformed by Jesus through the influence of coaches and athletes. I made the hair stand up on my arms. That's pretty great. This is what motivates Eric every day. As a former collegiate baseball player and coach, he loves the opportunity to see how relationship with Jesus can impact the lives of coaches and athletes. It was through loss in his life at 30 years old that led him to a relationship with Jesus. Just a few short years later, God called him into full-time ministry. Eric's been married to his wife, Ivy, for 18 years, and they have two children, Emery and Anderson. He's also a big golf fan. So, welcome to the show, Eric. I appreciate you jumping on. I know how busy you are, how busy I am, but you and I always make time for athletes and our faith and, you know, just friendship in general.
I'm excited to be here. Now, you asked me if this is my first podcast, and I believe it is.
So let's dive in first with your background in athletics. Talk to us a little bit about your collegiate baseball career. Where'd you play? What'd you do? You know, what position did you play?
Yeah. So grew up really playing about all sports. Baseball was probably not my first love, to be honest. All my buddies were big basketball guys. And we get to middle school and high school, and a lot of them grew in ways that I didn't. And when you get to high school and you're one of the smaller ones, basketball kind of becomes a bit more of a challenge. So baseball kind of late, like really probably my freshman, sophomore year of high school, kind of started feeling like, well, maybe this is where I belong. And ended up getting a chance to play at West Virginia Wesleyan and got a chance to be a starting pitcher for 4 years, which – you know, when I committed to go there, I was just trying to make the team. You know, you don't know what it's going to be like when you get to the next level and those kind of things. And so had some ups and downs in the 4 years, but learned a lot. You know, athletics obviously teaches us so much more than you ever can dream of. And I look back on that time, and there were some really good moments, and there were some really dark times. Like, you know, college is a different beast when you feel like, oh, gosh, the coach is – trying to bring people in that are better than me. That's his job.
Right.
Next year, he's trying to bring somebody in that's going to try to take my job. And so, you know, I remember there being some times of like, maybe I don't belong here. And but all in all, four of the best years of my life. I look back on that time in Buchanan and playing under Coach Tenney, who I think the world of. I wouldn't change a thing.
One of the things that hit me when you said that is when you're on your high school, middle school team, and you make it to college, you're your best player. You're the best player on that team.
Yeah.
And you come to a situation where you may not be the best player on that team.
Right.
And that's a whole different can of worms that you open about yourself, about the situation, about growing up as a man. My nephew just left for college yesterday. He's going to Wichita State. Mm-hmm. And him and I had the man talk before he left. And I said, you got to realize that this is the first adult thing that you've done. And
absolutely,
you're going to have to make relationships there. If you just take it, like if you go to somebody's wedding, okay, that played sports growing up, half of the people that are in the wedding are his college buddies, mm-hmm. not his high school buddies, because right. your high school buddies, you know, you've got your safety net, you got your family. When you go away to college, your teammates and your buddies are your family. Mm-hmm. So you get that bond at that time in your life that I still have. Like, man, if I've got my top 10 buddies, 8 of them are college guys. Yep. I met in college. So that's one of those things that I think gets missed about, okay, I'm going to play college athletics. But what is an unintended thing that if you haven't done that, haven't experienced that, is the relationships you build. And I'm sure you've got college buddies that were probably in your wedding that you talk to all the time.
Absolutely. And I can actually remember one of my first days on campus, a senior on the baseball team who I'd met on my visit months or probably a year before. I remember him telling me, one of my first days on campus, he's like, when you leave here, man, I'm telling you, these guys are going to be the people that you'll remember for the rest of your life. And don't get me wrong, I have some great friends from my childhood. Well, my best friend still. But outside of just a few of those people that you kind of went to high school with,
yeah,
like most of the people that I stay in contact with absolutely are my most of them are college teammates.
Yes.
But I also have a couple just, you know, friends from college that I didn't play baseball with that I still stay in touch with.
I had exactly the same thing happen to me. I walked on campus at 18 at University of Charleston before I transferred to Marshall. There was a fifth-year senior. Actually, it was almost six because mm-hmm. he had a medical. He blew his knee out. Plus, he had a transfer year. So, this was like his sixth year in college, mm-hmm. okay? So, this guy's like 23, 24. He's got a car, an apartment.
Right.
All of the swag, and for whatever reason, I walked into that dorm room. He put me underneath his arm, and we were so tight. We lost him last year. He passed away. And I don't know. I'm 47, so that probably makes him 49, yep. 50, somewhere through there. But we've stayed in touch all those years, and he did the same thing for me. Walked in the door, put his arm around me. He said, "Listen, I watched you play. I like how you play.
Yeah,
you're a country boy that doesn't try to be anything but a country boy." And, you know, we bonded over that. But I just love the fact that, you know, the relationships you build in college with your teammates, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
You know, I think in today's world, there's a and social media is probably the reason. I don't remember this 20-some years ago, but, like, college sports has become, like, D1 or bust, it feels like, for high school kids.
Yes.
You know, I help coach high school baseball currently, right. So I see it. And I think I knew early on, like, that was never, like, I was never going to be at that level. You know, when I went to college, I was going as a pitcher only and probably didn't throw hard enough to pitch at the D1 level. And I knew that, like, I knew I wanted to be where I belonged.
Right.
But man, I would encourage a lot of the kids out there today. I mean, the D2, the D3 route, the JUCO route. There are some great athletics out there.
100%.
I hear people make comments like, well, I could just go D2 or D3. And I'm thinking, have you ever watched a D2 basketball game?
Like, pretty good.
Like, it's pretty solid.
It's pretty good. The difference between D2 basketball and D1 is the size of the players, not the skill level.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
It's the same game.
Right.
One of my first big college deals that I got through my current business was University of Pikeville, UPike.
Mm-hmm.
In AIA, I'm like, this is going to be like high school basketball. It's right. not.
No,
it's absolutely not. It is the size of the player, not the mm-hmm. skill of the player. And that's really it.
I mean, can remember when I was at Wesleyan going to a lot of the basketball games. And I don't think Wesleyan was great at that time in basketball. But I can remember, like, Fairmont being incredible. This would have been late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. Being nationally ranked, it felt like every year. Right. I mean, you'd watch those teams come in there and you're thinking, man, these guys – not that they could compete with, you know, your top D1 schools, but it was some great basketball and football, you know, all sports are the same way. I mean,
there was a kid that played, I think, at Glenville when I was at the University of Charleston. He was about 5'5". He looked like a fireman. Had these big arms and he got a shaved head and this big, horrible mustache. Looked just like a fireman. That's what we called him. He hit 7 threes against us. And then at the end of the season, he made all conference, and everybody's like, we went back and looked at his statistics. He shot like 46, 47% from three.
Right.
Against, you know, guys that are a foot and a half taller than him.
Right.
So, you know, that skill level is there.
Yeah. And I didn't say that to like pat myself on the back. Not at all. But I want to say that to encourage like
100%.
You know, these high school kids today that I don't know. I think there's something with the stigma of like, oh, I didn't make it to D1. Like,
yeah.
No, 2% or 3% of the people playing high school athletics get that opportunity.
Last year in Division I basketball, men's basketball, on average with the transfer portal, take a guess on how many – this is on an average on a roster. You have 12 to 15 – let's call it 15 guys on a roster. Take a guess on average how many players transferred into the portal on an average across D1. Take a guess.
Total number?
Like per team.
Per team? Whew. I'm going to say more than half.
It was 5. So
about 30, about a third of a team
across the board transferred. Wow. So whenever I talk to a lot of my guys I used to coach that I stay in contact with, exactly what you said, find a need. Find where I can A, play, mm-hmm. B, have a great relationship with the coach, and have the coach tell you in those recruiting meetings, where am I on the pecking order, instead of, I'm going to go play a Division I team that really can't use me,
right?
And I'm going to be miserable sitting on the bench. You know, they don't think of that. Like, I'm going to go to D1, I'm going to play, I'm going to be the star, go to the NCAA tournament, instead of, coach, if I come here, where do you see me? Now, I know you can't give me you don't have a crystal ball here, but I feel like you're going to play 20 minutes a game. Okay, well, that's pretty good. Instead of, you know, and the coaches are just as much as fault. Yeah. They want that cupboard of 15 studs in their cupboard.
Right.
And then there's only one ball and 5 guys.
Yep.
So that has a lot to do with it's a broken double-edged sword where the coaches are not doing the player justice and the player's not doing himself justice. And, I mean, 5 guys per roster. That's a huge,
and huge number. The other part of that, and I think we would all be guilty of this. I mean, I'd like to say, oh, I wouldn't have done it, but I don't know that for sure. But if you're a kid that, say, comes to a school like Marshall, and you maybe overachieve, and all of a sudden you're the star, and you see that, well, maybe there's some bigger schools that, I mean, who wouldn't lead?
Andy Taylor from Marshall went to Mississippi State, and I'm not going to spit out the numbers, but staggering what they gave him.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
It's not the kid's fault.
He's going to make as much money this year playing college basketball than the top-tier overseas player.
Yeah.
And he's in college. And he's going to walk out of college with that money in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
How can you blame him for that? Nobody does.
You can't.
And to be honest with you, I'm decently close to the Marshall staff up there. They're like, this stinks for us.
Absolutely.
But my goodness, you throw that kind of green at somebody that age? I mean, any age.
Yeah.
Right now, somebody offers me what he got to go miss for 6 months.
Right.
He's a senior. So it's a one and done. And again, you can't blame the kids. That's the environment of college basketball right now, which is, you know, there's no emphasis on putting down roots. There's no emphasis on, okay, this is hard. How do I dig in and make it better? They're just like, I'll go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's the landscape that they were handed. They didn't choose it, but that's the landscape that they're in. And I feel like that's a disservice to athletics, to college athletics. I mean, I just, it's I don't know how you fix it. I saw a meme the other day that said, I liked it better when the players got paid under the table. Yeah. You know, it seemed to work better.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just not my favorite thing, but, you know, I understand that. But with you being a high school coach, you coach Hurricane, right?
Yeah, I do JV at Hurricane. Yep.
Okay. So you're currently boots on the ground. Talk to us a little bit about what's the biggest issue. Just pick one. If there's 3 top issues, pick one facing student athletes at that level. What's the biggest issue? Is it what are they facing? Is it peer pressure, social media bullying? I mean, pick an issue you think that really is hitting those kids.
I think it's, and I don't necessarily know what umbrella that this would fall under, but was talking not that long ago with somebody and just talking about kids need to be treated differently today than
100%
than we needed to be treated. And it's not their fault. No. I don't mean that in a negative way toward high school age kids, but like there is so much more that they're dealing with, whether it's through social media or because of social media. It's just this constant, and like I deal with it sometimes, like when you can't put your phone down and the busyness of just this world that we live in can really mess with our minds. And I feel like these kids are just, they're dealing with pressures that I don't think we had. Maybe we did. I don't know. But like, but I feel like you see it in the way they interact with people.
Right.
And a lot of kids don't respond to the coach screaming at them anymore.
Yeah.
And that's kind of just a vague example. Sure. But doesn't mean coaches can't coach hard. And I mean, obviously that's still a part of it. But like, I feel like when there is not a sense of, you know, hey, I'm going to come put my arm around you and show you that I really care about you. Like, when you don't get to that,
right,
everything else is kind of just, they're looking at you like, eh.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'll see if I want to listen to you. I don't know if I trust you yet kind of thing, you know. But when you show that, hey, first of all, I'm here for you. Right. I always tell the JV kids, I'm like, listen, I did the coaching thing like years ago. I'm not here to like work my way up some coaching ladder. I'm here to help Brian and his staff. I think it helps lighten the load for them a little bit by me taking the JV team. And I tell them that. I'm like, I'm here to help you guys.
Right.
And I said, and that might not be baseball.
Right.
You know, they know I'm the FCA guy.
Sure.
So they know up front kind of where I stand on that.
Right.
So that is kind of an open door. And I always try to tell them, like, anything you want to talk about, like, that's why I'm here. Grab me after practice, before practice. And so I just think, you know, these kids just truly need to be, doesn't mean we coach easy. I don't mean that. It's not that we're, I'm not saying coaches should be babying people, but I do think in today's world, they've got to see that I care about you first as a person.
Right.
And whatever that means, whatever that, that's going to look different for every coach. But I don't know. It just, man, they just,
I think
they don't respond to the, like, I don't, I'm not a big screamer or yeller, and, right, you know, but they don't, there's still some kids that respond to that, but it's fewer than it used to be.
It is. And when you're sitting there saying those things, that happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm laying in my bed. My head never stops.
It's painful.
It's painful.
Mm-hmm.
How many things that you have going on that, okay, I've got my phone, I got work tomorrow, I've got, you know, vacations coming up, I got this, and it never stops. But at least I'm 47 years old. I'm not 15.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you handle that when you're 15? You don't.
Right.
And I think a lot of when you're talking about interacting with coaches and players, since these kids pass a lot of times on the in-person relationship versus an electronic relationship, mm-hmm, with text and DMs and stuff, they don't do a great job of interacting with human beings in person, shaking hands, looking each other in the eye.
There's definitely a lot less of that that happens in our world.
It is, and it hurts them. You and I grew up with, you look me in the eye, you shake my hand, mm-hmm, firm handshake.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't do that to your coach, A, he lost respect for you, and B, he would pull you to the side and say, listen, you're going to be, this is, sports is going to, you're going to stop dribbling this basketball pretty soon.
Right.
You're going to be a man the rest of your life. So those are types of things that I think are getting missed, because they're, I can't believe how many kids don't have their driver's license that are 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
I was at the DMV 1 second after my birthday. I can't wait to drive. I can't wait to get out and about. I mean, I can't believe how many kids are 19 and 20 that they don't, have a license. I don't need one. I'm like, why? How can you not have a license? And it's just, times are changing. I will move any way the times change, but there has to be standards, mm-hmm, if we're going to keep parenting the way it should be with morality and faith and those type of things. You got to go to church, mm-hmm, and talk to people in person. You can watch church online. I do it here when I'm out of town. There's nothing that changes being in person.
Right.
And I think Roger Leip and I and Jeremy Napier, Roger Adams, we talked about when they're character coaches, being present is such a big deal. You can support those players with a text.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But you can't support them in the way that they need it sometimes, when exactly what you said, shake my hand. You want to talk about something, anything you want. I mean, how much more do you get out of somebody when you just the two of you sitting in the corner talking to your player? that he would never send that a text.
Right.
So it's great that they have you there. It's great that FCA is here, that we do have local representation. You guys are building huddles inside of some of these high schools. Talk to us a little bit about the huddles with FCA. Again, the two speakers that I saw at your banquet were fantastic. I mean, I have never seen so much enthusiasm other than Greg White, my former coach at Marshall. I mean, that guy was jumping up and down doing jumping jacks at the tip. And we're like, we got to get this guy a uniform, man, because he's still fired up and ready to go. And this is the same enthusiasm that those two students said at that banquet. And everybody at my table was like, sometimes you go to those banquets, any banquet, not just FCA, but any banquet, you're like, yeah, all right, you're looking at your watch, like, man, how much longer are we going to sit here? We already ate. Everybody's like, we want those guys to talk more.
Yeah.
Because you walked out of there inspired. So talk to us a little bit about your huddles, how that works inside the schools. Just elaborate on that for us.
Yeah. So the campus part of the ministry, which essentially are Bible studies that happen inside of the schools during their club time. Obviously, they're optional. We call them huddles. But, you know, when we have a huddle inside of a school, it's because we have a volunteer inside of the school that says, hey, I want to get FCA going.
Okay.
We aren't necessarily, obviously, we want to have as many huddles as we can, but we aren't going around beating down doors saying, hey, we want FCA in here. Because if we can't support it and we don't have people inside of the school supporting it, it's probably not going to thrive the way we really would love it to. So every huddle happens because of a volunteer, and I can't ever thank my volunteers enough. We try to, at our events, thank them and recognize them, and they don't get the credit they deserve, but they are the ones that truly make the ministry happen.
Right.
We talk a lot at FCA about handing off the ministry. And so once we have a teacher or faculty member, whoever it is inside the school that says, yeah, I'll be the leader, it's as simple as that, really.
Right.
Outside of some small paperwork and some things that need filled out. But from there, it's a student-led organization.
Right.
So we let the students run with it. It doesn't always happen right away that way. Sometimes it could take a school year before you get a student that's bold enough to kind of say, hey, I want to speak and I want to lead the huddle. And Cabell Midland was a great example of that. We talked about that at the banquet. But the young man, Ben, that you heard from, took us a few months, I think, and then he stepped up. And when he stepped up and said, I want to lead, then there was another young man, another student or two, and we've had now three or four that have led the huddle. And looking back at the end of the spring, I don't remember our teacher or myself or the youth pastor that helps having to lead at all the last few months. And so that's kind of the goal of the campus ministry. Most of our huddles meet during their club time or their lunch time. I've got a few middle schools that meet prior to, maybe it's like during a homeroom time. But, FCA, obviously, it's student-led. It's optional. We're not walking in schools forcing kids to go to FCA. But it's incredible when we see the students take ownership of these huddles to kind of see it evolve and see the growth. And, I mean, we've got some huddles. Hurricane Middle School right now is getting over 300 and some kids.
Wow.
I mean, we have a cafeteria full on Thursday mornings. Now, there's always a reason. Like, part of that is they're getting out of something.
Sure.
And that's okay. They're missing, like, their boring homeroom time, I think, or something. We didn't intentionally do it that way. It's just the only time that the teacher could find the time to meet. But, I can remember 4 or 5 years ago, we would meet in the library. We might have 20 to 30 kids. And now to see 300-plus showing up every week, and it's because of the student leadership.
Right.
I mean, we're talking middle school kids. 11, 12, 13. I mean, that's crazy.
That's so impressive.
But we have our leader might have a dozen students that are signed up to be leaders, and they're not all speaking, but they're inviting, they're making sure people know when we meet, those kind of things, behind the scenes. And it's really incredible. I mean, all age, it's incredible to watch, but when you watch the middle school age kids get up and lead, like as a seventh grader, I mean, like I never would have in my wildest dreams dreamt of speaking in front of anybody at that age. And to get up and talk about your faith in a middle school huddle is one of the more enjoyable things that I get to do.
I coached middle school the last 10 years. It's been a couple years off, but I coached it for about a decade straight. I couldn't get seventh and eighth graders to call out a screen. Okay. I couldn't get them to say anything during practice. And as soon as practice was over, they wouldn't stop talking. So the fact that you could get somebody to talk in that capacity, in that age, I mean, that just shows me, you know, spirit is in those folks. Yeah. The spirit's in FCA. The environment is there. It's a safe environment for them. And it's encouraging.
Yeah. It's incredible when you see pieces kind of come together and then you see God just work, really. You know, and it sometimes it, you got to be careful that you're not sitting back going, oh, well, look at this ministry that I've created because I have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, if we're being truthful, I may have some conversations with some people of some things they didn't know about, of things we can do for FCA that help further the ministry, right. But it's not about me.
Right.
It's really not even about FCA.
Right.
You know, it's about opening some doors, giving people the opportunity to be obedient. And then when we are obedient, seeing how God will do things that I couldn't do.
Right.
That somebody inside of a school, we're not capable of those kind of things.
Right.
Of bringing things together the way that God will. And just so, you know, but I think we've got 21 huddles that meet from high schools to middle schools in Putnam and Cabell County. A few across the river in Ohio, Chesapeake High School and Chesapeake Middle School, Sims Valley High School, Sarita Canova down here in Wayne County, and hoping to – Wayne County is an area that if there's a need that we would love to maybe add a school or two here in the next school year.
Right.
And then Point Pleasant High School started meeting last year, so Mason County is also another area of maybe some potential to grow.
You guys have, you know, in the state director's Coach Tyler, right?
Yep, Keith Tyler.
Keith Tyler is,
yep.
He was my assistant coach my first year at University of Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
One of the nicest men
absolutely
you'll ever meet, and you would never know by talking to him that he would bust you up on the floor.
So
he would drop 30, like, in 2 seconds on you. You look around. They beat Marshall 1 year. Whenever he – Tex Williams was his coach at University mm-hmm. of Charleston. They beat Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good that team was and how good he was.
So when I first started this thought of FCA, I didn't really know much about FCA, but everybody kept telling me, get connected with Keith. You need to reach out to him, this and that. And I've yet to mention Keith's name to somebody and them not reference how great of a basketball player he was. I keep digging, hoping someday somebody's going to say...
The silent killer, too.
Say, he wasn't that good, so I could run to him and say, you know what, Keith, somebody said... And, you know, mess with him. I'm joking, obviously. But I have yet to meet somebody that, one, doesn't compliment how great of a man he is.
Yeah.
But, two, how great of a basketball player he was. And he has, I mean, been a blessing in my life that, you know, I sure needed it at the time that I was looking to come into full-time ministry. And, yeah, he's got some great stories about the moments he got to spend with the Lakers when he was
right.
in preseason with them. And he, you know, I know he played in what used to be called the CBA.
Yeah.
You know, professionally. And, yeah, he's got great stories, but a great man. He's a pretty good golfer, too. I'm not going to give him too much credit on air here, but he is a pretty good golfer as well.
Well, guys, we're up against a break here. I'm sitting here with my guest, Eric Brooks from FCA, and you're listening to the Post Up Sports Hour with Coach Josh Perkey on Expression Radio.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.
Okay, we're back on Post Up Sports Hour with Coach Josh Perkey on Expression Radio. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, on Post Up Sports Hour, Instagram, on Post Up Sports HR. Got it right that time, Sam. Never got it right the first time. That's why I wrote it down. We'll put a lot of the links up there for the show, upcoming guests, information that the guests and I talk about today, like FCA. We're going to get to, you know, having a golf scramble. There's an app. He's starting club sports with FCA. We're going to talk about all that, and I can share that through those places. But we're sitting here with Eric Brooks, FCA, for the surrounding area here. So let's talk a little bit. I do this. Well, first of all, let's talk about your club, your sports. Mm-hmm. You're going to come up, your FCA. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so about 2 years ago, FCA launched kind of just another avenue for us to do ministry in, what is known as FCA Sports. So thinking in terms of our own sports leagues and our own club teams. And obviously, you know, we talked about this when they launched this. You know, in West Virginia, we deal with a little bit smaller numbers, smaller population. So we did feel like, hey, it might be a challenge here, but we're trying to find kind of just some niche areas to use and to do. You know, obviously, Upward, it's very similar to Upward. Yeah. We don't want to try to do what they're already doing and take kids from Upward or, you know, interfere with them at all. So, like, my first thought was, well, I would never do basketball. I know they do soccer, and I think they do other sports as well. That's not our goal. But when I spoke with some youth pastors, we landed on this disc golf league for high school age kids. And, you know, I knew nothing about disc golf, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
And sure enough, last fall, we launched what I was told was the first ever FCA disc golf league in the world. And we had 21 kids, four teams, and it was a 7-week season. And, you know, the coolest part of it is, as an FCA sports league, you know, the one requirement is the coach is a Christian.
Right.
He is a follower of Christ. And then so when they practice once a week, part of the practice time is about 10 to 15 minutes of huddle time. And okay. So there's a coach's app for FCA Sports that's kind of a 8 to 10 week curriculum that they can follow if they want to.
Right.
We encourage them to use our resources so that we're all kind of talking about the same thing week in and week out. You know, but that's the reason for FCA Sports.
True.
Obviously, we tried to make it clear to them, listen, we do want this to be competitive. Right. We want you to be out here competing, having fun. It's not like we're just showing up playing disc golf, you know, on a random weekday. I mean, they had uniforms.
Right.
It was really pretty awesome. And so this year, we bumped it up to early summer. So we actually just finished year two, two Mondays ago. And again, we had a 7-week season. The first week's kind of just a welcome, a meet and greet. The next six weeks are six tournaments. And really cool. The guy, Matt Hillebrand from River Ridge Church, kind of helps direct it.
Right.
And we use, you know, the scoring app that he plugs into like a TV. We've got a live TV out there with live scoring. So the parents that come can sit in the shelter and they can watch and keep updated on the scoring. We have some parents that follow the kids out on the course.
Right.
It's really become a very unique community.
Sure.
Which is pretty awesome. So it's become something we're really excited about. And just trying to figure out, like, moving forward, maybe it's high school-aged flag football.
Right.
Or middle school-aged flag football, whatever it might be. But, you know, just trying to find the niche. And then I have been approached about a potential club team. The guy that approached me was talking soccer. And it was just a mention of maybe playing under the FCA uniform, you know,
right.
and playing as an FCA team. My son's travel baseball team, about a month and a half ago, we went to Tennessee. And sure enough, we're getting ready to take the field, and we're playing an FCA team. Right. So it was so cool to see it. They were from Tennessee and playing under the name of FCA with FCA on their uniform and knowing that behind the scenes, there's a lot more going on
right.
Than just baseball. And they actually came to us and said, hey, we will pray after the game if you want to join us, you know. And so a lot to be excited about in terms of FCA Sports. It's not replacing anything we currently do, but it is just another avenue, another way for us to do ministry.
What I like about that, when I'm sitting over here, I'm thinking to myself, you can see across sports, high school, college, both, they're adding sports that weren't even thought of to be done at the mm-hmm. school and club level when we were growing up. They got archery, they got bowling, they
yeah.
got, you know, I'd call it non-traditional, you know, not football, baseball, basketball. That's what we all think.
Right.
And then the last 20 years, soccer's kind of crept into there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was one Absolutely. Of the quote-unquote major sports.
Yep.
But what I've seen is the more kids are involved with something outside of school, the more rounded they become, the better kids they end up being. When they're involved and they've got a little bit of structure, I don't know of any high school team, and this is my business, by the way, high school or college teams that have a disc golf team, which mm-hmm. is fantastic, which, you know, a lot of kids would like that. Flag football is another one. I mean, right. there's really health concerns with parents with football these days, and rightfully so.
Absolutely.
I mean, I sell football helmets for a living, and they say they're 5-star. I said, but there's no way to stop a car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
You can, I don't care what you put on. It's a car wreck. And so a lot of parents have that concern. I don't blame them. I mean, I'm not sure I would let my kids play with all the data we keep getting back. So, you know, those options that you're offering that, you know, aren't at the – definitely at the high school level.
Right.
I mean, you know, you're lucky to get enough coaches to coach programs these days, much less add, you know, these non-traditional sports. So that's what I like to hear is an opportunity, another opportunity yeah. to reach another kid that, well, I can't hit a baseball. I can't shoot a jump shot. I can't throw a football. I can't catch a football. Can you throw a frisbee? Yep.
Right.
Well, let's we can work with you there. Let's
I'm
going to
give
that.
You advice. Don't call it a frisbee. They'll run you out of the disc golf world.
All right. Please send all your hate emails to my producer Sam if you're a disc golfer.
Because to all my disc golf coaches that are hearing this right now, they just stood up and walked out.
Coach Perky is a disc golf rookie. So he will mental note.
We'll school him up. No, but it's been great. It has truly become this little community of some of the parents showing up, fixing food every week. I mean, it's been so much better. And again, it's allowing God to show up,
right?
And show off, so to speak.
I'll put you on the spot here. A lot of in the current sports landscape. I mean, believe it or not, I watch less ESPN and SportsCenter than I used to. I like to watch games better. I don't really watch the highlights a lot anymore because I think the highlights are poison for sports because kids are like, oh, you know, I see James Harden. He has 40 points and he had 10 dunks, but he gave up 60 points on the other end. Yeah, they're like, I want to be like him. I'm like, okay, whatever. You're seeing 0.1% of the entire game.
Yep.
So I'm still old school. I like to watch games more, watch a ton of golf. You and I talk about that often. This guy's green with envy. He's been to the Masters, been to practice rounds, which, you know, I don't wish anything bad on anybody. But, man, I wish I could go to one of those one day. But anyway, again, I watch more the live sports these days, and I love coaches. I'm a coach. You're a coach. So I follow coaches probably more than teams, mm-hmm. especially in college. If you could pick one guy or girl that's in college sports, high school sports, pro sports, you're like, I relate to that guy, I relate to that girl on A as a coach, B X's and O's, and C as a faith-based person. Do you mm-hmm. have somebody like that?
Probably, and he's a football coach, Dabo Swinney. I don't want to say I connect with him or relate right. to him, but I've really dug into his journey. He's done a lot with FCA. He actually, if you watch some of our videos, he'll actually tell you that he was saved at an FCA huddle. And so I've kind of dug in, and obviously he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. So just really dug into his journey a little bit and love some of the things that he stands by, that it's about so much more than football. And, you know, that to me is why we coach, a lot of us, I should say, as followers of Christ. And even people that aren't followers of Christ would still most of the time will tell you it's about something more than just the athletic part of it, right? You know, I mean, I interact with a ton of coaches, and some of them I know they're just maybe unsure about this thing we call faith, but they still know that, like, it's about more than the sport. Right. It's about making them better men and better women when they're done playing the sport.
Right.
And what can we learn through sport, whatever game it is you're playing? Because it teaches so much about failing and being successful and those kind of things. So he would be one. I grew up – you're going to probably hate on me for this one, but we hadn't got to this point in our relationship to where we've talked about this. But I grew up as a big – I mean, like, when I say big, Duke basketball fan.
Okay.
And so Coach K was always, like, my kind of – he actually was the reason I liked Duke basketball. Actually, funny story. The reason this all happened, me and my best friend, probably 11 or 12 years old, I think. This was in the UNLV days.
Right.
When they were everything.
Stacey Ogman, Larry Johnson. Coach Tark chewing
everybody loved UNLV, right? Either loved or you hated him, yes. I think. And I was so sick of some of my other friends jumping on that bandwagon that when they were playing Duke in the semis, I think, in 90 or 91, I was like, you know what? I'm going to root for Duke tonight. And they beat them. Yes. They upset them that year. And then from there, me and my best friend, like, it was like a cool bond between us, but we just like fell in love with Duke basketball. And right. then, of course, they became, you know, the example
the gold
for,
standard.
Yeah, for, yeah, for a while. So I'd always loved how Coach K, I always read a lot of his books about, it's about just coaching the really the heart of the athlete.
Yeah.
And so much more. All coaches are good at X's and O's, right?
100%.
All coaches in baseball, you know, are very similar.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. There's some, as you move up, there's some advanced stuff, but handling people, managing relationships, like that's what it comes down to. Going back to what we talked about earlier, like kids today, and I don't mean this, I hope this isn't coming across as like a negative toward kids today, because it's absolutely not, but things have changed. So we've got, as coaches, change and coach a little differently. So those would be the two, like, you know, up there. I'll be honest with you, when I met, and not the two Hurricanes horn or anything like that, but when I met Brian, I've learned so much from those guys. The varsity staff, and even the other high schools here in the area, you know, getting to watch, you know, we play Cabell Midland, we play Huntington and Spring Valley, and
right,
you know, getting to see how those guys interact, you learn from them,
right?
Like, you maybe they don't even know who I am, but you spend enough time on the field watching these other guys coach,
right?
You know, I think we should always be trying to pick up new stuff and
100%
and grow. You know, coaching, growing in our faith journey is really no different. Growing as a coach or whatever profession it is, we never want to be standing still. And we talk with my JV guys about 1% better. If we can get 1% better today,
yep,
while we're here, then it was worth us showing up to practice.
Sure. So, I'm a big fan of Dabo's. One of the things that I
could tell by the eye roll you weren't as big a fan as Coach K when I said that.
I can't. We'll get to him.
All right.
Let's chew off this piece first. Dabo, I love what I like about him is sometimes you'll see a guy, let's just say, wins a big game, quarterback throws five touchdowns after the game. You know, he says, like, to, you know, thank God for giving me these abilities or whatever, but he doesn't live the life.
Mm.
That's a. I don't know if it – I think it irks me. I think it's it does. And when Dabo says it, I believe it because I know he lives it every day. I'm with you. I've read books. I've watched his videos. And even in, like, if he's on College game day or doing a big interview with a big person, he'll talk about his team, how many games they're going to win or how well they're going to do in the conference for about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. The rest of the interview is about how he's coaching these men, how he's coaching his coaches.
Right.
He talks about how he leads his coaches with, you know, down this path, which is makes them better men, makes them better coaches. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, you're watering a fertile garden here. Whenever you're adding that to it, it's like fertilizer to good people already.
Right.
So that, you know, we're living an earthly life instead of a spiritual life. You put those two together, it's pretty special.
It's pretty awesome to see. We do a so Rob Ely and I here on campus at Marshall do a coaches Bible study, and we get anywhere from 6, 7, 8 coaches that show up from all different sports, and with, you know, obviously without saying names, but
sure,
it's incredible to just know there's a lot more of that going on than people probably realize, that
right,
people coaching from a faith aspect and right, including that in what they do. Obviously, that is their life. That is their profession, right? I mean, they're obviously trying to keep their jobs. They're obviously trying to win games. But, you know, the ones that I get to interact with understand it so well that it's about something so much bigger.
Right.
And really cool to just because that's not always easy to, you know, it's easy to get wrapped up in wins and losses and you know, at that level especially, right, you know, where everybody sees it and everybody's giving their opinion on you, and
that's,
you
rough,
know, to stand firm in that ground of, yeah, we are trying to get better and win and all those things, and but we're also trying to make sure that they don't leave this university or whatever school it is the same as when they got here.
Yeah, and I hear coaches make excuses a lot. They're like, well, I didn't get these kids. I didn't get the kids that I wanted and this and that, whatever, and that's part of it. But what if you take care of the small fundamental things in life, in your job, maintenance on your car, mm-hmm. if you take care of the fundamentals at the bottom and make sure that's always good, and you stand on top of those, now you're at the next level of, okay, I'm doing everything in Coach Josh Perkey's power to mold these kids. Now, the X's and O's are on top two or three steps up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have that bottom step, you're not going to be a great coach. You're not going to have a great program,
right.
because it's a building block. It's a foundation. And if you don't have that, you take that first step and you fall.
Yeah.
So when I see coaches chasing players, and I watch it's a little different now in basketball. Like 10 years ago, the transfer portal was JUCO. You know, we're going to replace our roster with JUCO kids. That was just Band-Aids on top of Band-Aids on top of Band-Aids, instead of taking your best swing at some high school guys, and in 4 years, have them all mold them just like you like them.
Yeah.
Coach them up. It's kind of gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Dabo does a great job of that first step. Let's put it all here. You can't build a house without a foundation. And he builds his house with his faith. He just likes people. Mm. I mean, how hard is that?
Mm.
Be nice to people.
Yeah.
Sit across from the other guy and care about him.
Right.
How hard is that? And that's an easy thing to do that I think a lot of coaches whiff. They whiff at the easy stuff. I mean, and they again, I'm with you. You gotta win. It's that day and age. But I think if you build the fundamentals, recruit the right kids, recruit the right way. I'm not saying your job gets easier, but you can sleep at night. Like, I did this the right way.
Yeah.
Maybe we didn't win. Maybe we fumbled on the one, didn't win or whatever. I'm going to sleep well.
There's going to be a day where you're not the coach anymore.
And the kids,
maybe it's because you didn't win. Maybe it's because you just aged out.
And the kids are going to remember you in the locker room after we fumbled on the one and lost.
Right.
How did coach react?
Yep.
And I that's one of the things I love about coaching. Coach K, I like Coach K because of the program he built, and he was the last guy to hang on to those four-year guys.
Mm-hmm.
He got away with not doing the Coach Calipari thing, which that's another story altogether. I don't know how that guy's successful. I don't know how you have five new starters every year in college basketball, but he does it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if the Lakers or Celtics had five new guys every year?
Yeah.
How do you build something like that? It's so impressive what he's done. Everybody's like, well, he doesn't win a national championship. Well, it's a curse because he gets the best guys, and sometimes they don't mesh for that 6 months that you have them.
Right.
And then they leave. Coach K was the last one that really kind of cultivated those guys for 4 years. I think Elton Brand was the first guy that left.
He was, yeah.
Before he graduated. I like Coach K as a man. I like him selfishly because him and Kobe were buddies. I'm a big Kobe fan, big Laker guy. Those Olympic years they had together. Coach K is like, I've never been around anybody like that guy. And you love him or hate him, there's no denying how hard he worked, how everything in his body, mind, and soul was to see how much better he could make himself.
Yeah.
And that's a detriment at times because he comes off as selfish, not a good teammate. Well, when you work that hard, you expect everybody else to work that hard. And when they don't,
right.
you don't get along. Ask Dwight Howard. He threw him out the door head first because he's like, you are the best specimen of a center, of a human being I've ever seen, and your work ethic is the worst I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't believe it. He said, I can't believe this guy has all these physical gifts, and he sees me with the same physical gifts working that hard. I'm the MVP of the league, and this guy shows up practice 5 minutes before, leaves 5 minutes after, and how can you do that?
I heard a story. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard a Kobe story just a couple weeks ago that – at halftime of a game, he had a bunch of young guys on the team 1 year, and they were all wearing his shoes. And he made them take his shoes off at halftime of a game. He was like, if you're not going to put forth any better effort than that, you're not wearing my shoes on the floor.
Take them off.
Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's legendary. But I mean, to go back to like Dabo, like if we think about God's word, talking about, you know, are we building our foundation on the sand or are we building it on the rock?
Right.
You know, and when those storms come, the house that's built on the sand, it's not going to last. And storms come in athletics. I mean, you're talking college athletics, and you know, the teams we watch on TV, you see it every year. The team that 2-3 years in a row, they're incredible, and then there's going to be a bad year in there, and yeah. it happens. And again, what do we build on? Because if you're built on if we're not building our foundation on the rock, then
I think a lot of programs, a lot of coaches, a lot of athletes, a lot of sports teams build their barometer as likes and follows and popularity. And, you know, there's a lot of really popular people in the world that, A, I don't know who they are. Somebody will mention somebody's name. That's, yeah. Oh, this person said this in the media. I'm like, well, A, I heard what they said, but I have no idea who they are, because I don't want to sound like the grumpy old man, but I have funneled down my interest to a finite thing. So when something like they'll mention an artist's name, and I'm like, I don't even know who that is. Like a music guy, like, oh, he's woke, he's lit. I'm like, all right, man, I can't say those words. I didn't know what those words mean. Okay. But I think when you find people that you and I have, like with Dabo, you know, Coach K, I've talked to Jeremy Napier a lot about Bruce Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Bruce Pearl just gets people. And I think, I mean, if you look across the board, there's a lot of guys, like, they started going to sports psychologists because they're like, I need somebody to – there's holes in my personality, holes in my game, holes in my work ethic. I need somebody that tells me what those holes are. And you can do that, you know, like sports psychologist and whatever. But what I think gets left out is the biggest – I mean, your faith gets left out.
Yeah.
How about start there? Yeah. And when you're talking about how your kids are coached different than back in the old days, that's another reason to, because everybody got screamed at 30 years ago, everybody. And if you look at it from a person-to-person standpoint, even at middle school, I knew the kids I could scream at and it would help. And I knew the kids I could scream at and they'd absolutely go into their turtle shell.
Yep.
You know that. So if you coach them all the same way, you're screwing up, number one. Number two is, I think when you can add that faith portion in coaching, that a lot of even great coaches that don't do would be even greater. They'd make their kids better, their foundation better, their program better by coaching X's and O's, hard work, morals, ethics, all that stuff. You add the faith in there, now it's a home run.
Right.
Because A, you can sleep at night. B, you're doing God's work, which is what you're supposed to be doing. I guarantee at the end of the day, if you get the right people doing those things, you're going to win anyway. I think if you do things the right way all the way through, you're not chasing athletes and chasing money and chasing endorsements. I think if you do it the right way, then the results take care of the process over outcome.
Yeah.
You know, hammer the process, the outcome's going to be there.
Coach Bartram, in our some things we get to do with the football team here at Marshall, he always tells the story of Bobby Bowden, I guess, when they won the national title in 93. They'd been said for a while they couldn't win it, they couldn't win it, couldn't win it. And months after they all got back together, he got the staff together and he asked, and there's a video out there, Mark Richt telling the story, but he asked them, do you feel any different, you know, after you won the big one? And they're like, man, it kind of wore off. It had been a month or two, you know.
Yeah.
Now they were just back to, and he made the point, that's not the big one.
Right.
Right? The big one is when you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ.
Right.
And, again, everybody's days as a coach is going to end someday. And you're going to look back, if you think about what Donnie Jones said at our banquet, he said he was cutting down the net of a national title game, and he realized...
He felt empty.
That he felt empty because yes. He felt like he wasn't making enough of an impact in their lives. So I think when you're a young coach, it is win, win, win. And then you, at some point, I don't know when that is, but at some point you realize that, man, it is about much more.
Yesterday, or I hate when I date myself, but yesterday, last night at service, Pastor Kevin was talking about knowledge versus wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowledge is great. Your X's and O's are great. You know the game. You know where the recruits are. You know all those things. But there's nothing like, and we had an artist that spoke last night. He said, I'm in my 70s. This is the best I've ever been at my job. Because I have wisdom to go with the knowledge. And I think when you pair those together, and I lump wisdom in with spirituality, faith, because knowledge is book knowledge. I mean, if you're an electrician, you got to know all that stuff. I mean, it's a book, it's apprenticeships, but 40 years as an electrician versus year one, probably know the same thing about wiring.
Right.
But wisdom shows you creative ways and problem solving and, you know, just those type of things. And I think that's a lot what we're talking about is it's just Bobby Bowden is like, I have wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys that know what I know about football. but they don't have the wisdom that I have because I've been around it and I've got my faith with these kids, and that's refreshing to me. And of course, Bartram's one of my guys. Love Bart.
Yeah.
I mean, he shakes my hand, and I have ginormous hands. Okay, I've put my hand on a basketball where Michael Jordan has. I got an imprint at a Basketball Hall of Fame or wherever I was. And his hands were about 6 inches longer than mine. And I feel like Bart's are 6 feet longer than mine. He's like Andre the Giant shaking your hand every time.
Yeah.
And he's as strong as his handshake is, his faith is stronger.
Oh, you're not kidding. I don't even have time to talk how God has, so my college roommate's his cousin.
Okay.
So I've known who he was for a long time. He actually got me tickets to a Cowboys-Eagles game years ago. Didn't know who I was. And then here we get reconnected through, God bringing him back to Huntington. And we could talk forever about Coach Bartram, but one of the greatest men that I get to be around. And, again, another person that blesses me every time we're together.
Well, I just looked up, and I can't believe we were winding down here because we were such a good conversation. I want to talk to you quickly about Golf Scramble.
Yep.
Guyane, when is that?
Yeah, so we actually do two. That was never the plan, but when COVID hit, it kind of forced us to do a golf tournament in Huntington. We were planning a banquet.
Okay.
Couldn't do a banquet, obviously, with COVID. So we ended up planning a golf tournament after I already had one. And we do one at Putnam. It'll be October 2nd at Sleepy Hollow. And then October 9th, the following Monday, will be the one down here at Guyane.
Okay.
And we've had... This will be the fourth year now, the one down here at Guyane, and each year they're growing a little bit. Just a great day of fellowship, great day of golf. We give away some great prizes.
And it helps fund your ministry,
though. Absolutely. Right. Everything we do is self-funded at FC.
Right.
So even to the state director, we raise all of our own funding. So these golf tournaments, the Night of Champions banquets, all big, big things in terms of allowing us to do what we do. Because without volunteers, without the people that want to fund us, we don't get this chance.
Right.
So, we can't thank the people that help and support us enough, because all these things I've had a chance to talk about here today, don't happen without them. And so they are as much a part of the ministry as I am. So
the app. Give us the 2 second on the app. I love the app.
Is that the Competitors Challenge app?
Competitors Challenge
app. Yeah, I would encourage you. If you're looking for a reading plan, the Competitors Challenge app, it's just called the FCA Competitors Challenge. It is a year-long, to walk you through the New Testament with bits and pieces of the Old Testament. You'll get some commentary from coaches, some athletes, maybe some local FCA staff people across the East Coast. But if you're looking for a reading plan, it really is. It's a great tool, especially because it's geared a little bit toward athletics.
It is. It's fantastic. How can people get information on all this? Do you have a West Virginia website for your FCA?
We do. We have an FCA page. You can follow me on – I'm on Twitter – and Facebook, Eric Brooks, if you go to, maybe we can share the link.
Yeah, I'll share it.
For the FCA homepage, and you can find all events that we're having are always listed on there.
Awesome. Well, Eric, thanks for coming, man. Thanks for having me. Again, Eric Brooks, FCA. I'll post all the stuff on the website for the Golf Scramble, the app.
Mm-hmm.
And again, follow us on the Post Up Sports Hour on Facebook. Post Up Sports HR on Instagram. And we'll see you guys next week. You've been listening to the Post Up Sports Hour with Coach Josh Berkey on Expression Radio.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.